Boss is here, so we can talk. Okay.
Oh, just push the button. It's on. Okay.
Wait, hold on a second. I gotta do something here.
Okay, you're up. No, call a meeting order.
7 o'clock.
You get the any public comment? You get the approval of minutes. Everybody read the minutes.
I'll make a motion. Second.
All the favor.
All right.
And bills were circulating.
I didn't bring the things down. I'm sorry. Trust me, I'm in good shape. I'm going to talk about that in a minute anyway.
I got no correspondence. I don't know if you're getting.
I don't.
Okay.
Janet, have I received any correspondence?
No.
Let me get the correspondence for Chief then.
You didn't make a copy of this, so I'll just read it off. Okay, since our last meeting, we had 56 calls, 2 motor vehicle accidents, 6 tree and wire calls, 1 water call where we had a foot of water in a basement. Actually, it was in a driveway. Safety officer Moore can attest to that. Backed the new forestry into it, dropped a hard suction in, pumped like crazy until he found a plugged up drain. Took care of a lot of the problems. We had a fire alarm at Georgina's, which was interesting. It came in at 9:30 at night, and that's a strange type of night to have a fire alarm over there. Got on a scene with an engine, full crew, and found they had a reveal party going on in the banquet room. And without telling anybody, including the manager on duty that night, they pulled the pin on something that blasted all the ceiling tiles and a smoke detector in pink. So I'm there with a manager. Said, all right.
There's a lot of that pink going around.
Not my house. That's good. So anyway, we turned around and went through the party, which was not going to break up, and pulled the smoke detector off the ceiling and pulled all the pink confetti out of it. Started to address what to fix it, put it back online, and then we got a call for a some type of fire out near Munson Candy Kitchen. Turns around, the deputy chief got on the scene there first with the engine tank and found a large wood pile on fire. 3 and 4 foot logs in diameter were burning, and it was visible. It was at 25 feet in the air. Anyway, it was visible. The occupant wasn't happy we were here, but after fire marshal, deputy fire marshal and the state trooper, a resident state trooper at night accompanied us, things calmed down pretty good. So we put the fire out and went from there. Also did a storm to stand by. We had that half a big snowstorm that we had here. So we stood by at firehouse all night on the cots. ET-334, as you see, is in a house now. Firematic service manager came down the other morning, Saturday morning, 8:30 was here. We had 15 members. Take training on the new pump and all the electronics on the vehicle. Herculean work was done that afternoon by Janet. You got this in print already. That afternoon by members to get the new truck ready to go in service. And they're going to finish it up tonight. And probably, Jim, we're going to put it in service here tonight. Good chance. Yep. You'll see the out in the training area. A little bit of construction going on out there. The Hartford Foundation of Public Giving Grant gave us money for wood prop, roof prop, and ladder belts. The lumber did arrive the other day. I don't know if you building inspector guys take a look at that lumber. It's all rough cut lumber. It's not regular 2x4. Heavy duty stuff out there. And it's going to have a roof prop. It's going to have a window, bail in out window, maze. All for firefighter training. Our new area is now almost complete with a paved lot, 2 telephone poles with a variety of wiring setups, guardrails, and a fire hydrant that you can flow water through. Budget-wise, we're on track, pretty much on track for the year. We had repairs on Rescue 134 that could affect this end of the year budget. Rescue 134 had to be towed down to Stewart and Stevenson, otherwise in the past known as Atlantic Detroit, to have the EGR assembly replaced. In addition to that, Very short time after that, truck 134, we came back from a call at 12:30 at night and had pretty good sulfur smell in the bay. Turned out to be one of the batteries that sulfated, blowing gas off. And so the next day and a half, we replaced six batteries on that. Total repairs for those two trucks was $10,000. So that could get into our budget at the end of the year a little bit. To date, we spent about 19% of our allotted budget. Large expenses upcoming are DOT testing for the trucks, pump tests, annual inspections, aerial inspections due this year, SCBA pack and air compressor quality tests, member SCBA fit tests, meter calibrations, hose and ladder testing, and member physicals. That'll all be done this spring. Got a lot of things coming up. This next weekend, a department will hold an EMT recertification class for those members who have to recert their license this year. We have a new EMT, Corey Christians. He's out on the floor tonight. And two other members are getting very close to complete their class. Three members have indicated they want to take Firefighter 2 in the spring. Lieutenant Vincent just completed his aerial operator certification. And we're planning a pump operator class and another Q class in-house. Department is also putting on American Heart Association Heart Saver CPR AED course February 17th at the firehouse here. It's open to the public. So, any questions before I go further? Seeing none?
Yeah, actually, I have one.
Go ahead.
Who do you see about the CPR?
Laura Goulet. send an email to Bolton Fire CT and we'll get it taken care of. Yep, that's on the 17th. Yeah. So. In fact, it's on the electronic sign up front, too. But yeah, Laura, good. We'll do the budget under new business. Good idea. That's what we got.
Marshall.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight was a bit of a bittersweet meeting for me. This will be my last meeting as your fire marshal. Tonight we have business for the staff. And in speak to the endorsement of this panel, along with the members, some of the members, we have three of the members of the interview panel here who interviewed for fire marshal and deputy fire marshal. And we are seeking the endorsement of this board and our recommendation of these two gentlemen, William Call and James Quish, respectively, for the positions of fire marshal and deputy. When I came on board as a fire marshal, this town was not in fact with compliance with the requirements of the Connecticut federal statutes for inspection and testing. With Bill's help, the support of this board, and the support of the Board of Selectmen, we were able to achieve those goals. And beyond that, the fire marshal's office has enhanced service with things like the Knox Box program, the improvements to the fire prevention program, including seniors and calendar, selection for the artwork of our kids. And we look forward to the next steps.
ESO?
ESO.
That's huge.
We went electronic. We've made enormous strides in the last few years with the support of this board and the support of the Board of Selectmen. And it is the recommendation of Bob Mora, myself, Rod Fournier, and Rich McKinnon, who could not be here tonight, to endorse William Call as the next fire marshal for the town of Bolton, and James Quish as the deputy fire marshal for the town of Bolton. We interviewed both of these men. Bill, of course, needs no introduction. He's been behind the grill and meeting with Bill for the last few years. Jim comes to us with many years of experience. He's a retired firefighter and a fire inspector. In the last 10 or 12 years, Jim has worked as a trainer for the State of Connecticut Office of Education and Data Management, where he's been training building officials and fire marshals.
Carl Dogen's highly of you, sir.
Oh, good. One of the things I find very interesting is that Mr. Carl and I began our journey together in the realm of fire marshals. We went to fire marshal school together. We worked together in Vernon a little bit when I covered in Vernon, and Bill came to work for us here in the town of Bolton. So I'm very proud to be able to turn this board over to Bill. And Jim, I've known, not as well as Bill, but I've known Jim for as long as he's been a trainer with the Office of Education and Data Management. And based on the skills and abilities he brings to the table, he also has my hearty endorsement as Deputy Fire Marshal, as does he the members of the panel. And we've asked a couple of the members of the panel and these men here tonight. So if you would like to ask questions of them as we seek your endorsement for them for those roles, they're here to do that. So if you have any questions of the panel or the two candidates, and what we're asking specifically is that by a motion of this board, you endorse our recommendation to the Board of Selectmen to appoint them to those two roles.
For a record, this UUISH. Listen, what the Irish to do.
Thank you.
So, can we just give a comment?
I wish you would, please.
Thank you. Since we
please identify who Bob you are Moore. By your address, please.
Bob Moore, 15 Tinker.
Oh, okay, thank you very much.
And here as the deputy first select.
Oh, there you
my
go.
My knowledge, go through this stuff. We did a pretty comprehensive interview, even though Bill, we've known him forever, but even still, our candidate for deputy, who I had the pleasure of meeting, and sat down and read the resume, which blew me over, and in the interview process, quite frankly, that's where the rubber hits the road. You really get a feel of the candidate and what they are, who they are, and how you feel they will handle themselves in the situation. I walked away totally blown away, totally impressed. I don't think the department could do any better than bringing these two guys aboard.
Bob Fournier, for Hanover Farms Road. I was
he's the first selectman.
First selectman.
he's the blame.
I was impressed that we were going through the interview when they started asking us questions that we hadn't even got to yet. They're both very overly qualified for their positions, so I recommend that you do endorse them.
Excellent. Okay. Any questions?
I make a motion that the Fire Commission approves the recommendation from the administrators to appoint William Call as the Fire Marshal and James Quish as the Deputy Fire Marshal.
Yeah. Should get that in print for you.
You're a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Motion passed. All right. I'd like to present this to Jim for the years of service he's done as a fire marshal. He did a great job.
Why don't you walk over here and I get a picture of you?
I'll walk.
See that? Wow.
He's done a good job and he moved Bill right along too. And thank you for everything he's done.
Thank you.
I know you're not leaving us as the administrator part, so at least we'll have you there for that.
Thank you for your support and the support of this board. We couldn't have done it without all of you and the Board of Selectmen. I know not all of the Board of Selectmen who are part of us moving this program forward and achieving the short-term goals and long-term goals of the Fire Marshal's Office are here, but we couldn't have done it without the support of this board and the Board of Selectmen. So thank you very much.
A little handshake there, gentlemen. A little
handshake.
Look at the camera now.
With the handshake.
I got to tell you what to do.
Yes, you do.
It's not too fast.
Thank you, Matt. It's tough. It's bittersweet. Truly is. It's the one thing that gave me pause when I decided to take on the role of town administrator payment way, was giving up the role of the fire marshal's office. Because for me, it's a fulfillment that I desire for the county. But it's going to be in good hands.
And I was thinking back, you know, the Jim, we don't have a lot of fires here, but we have big ones. Yeah, well, I don't know. 50,000 miles on a 2-year-old ladder truck out of your old town, that's quite a few good calls. But anywho, all the different types of calls that we went on, some of the bigger ones, like the barn, Heritage Barn. We had all the Talon County fire chiefs in this room one night. Mm-hmm. And this guy, you were first selectman? Yeah. He's got a political battle with this Heritage Barn. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I'm
not. Oh, you haven't seen it? Wait. Anyway, I know that. So we turned around and Bob had political going back and forth. Half the town said, let's fix it. The other half says, we spend too much money. The chiefs all left here. An hour later, I'm calling him on the phone as I'm driving out my driveway because the barn is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting one. A few different house fires we had over by the lake. Some pretty good accidents we attended together. And you've done a heck of a job.
Barn was my first arson fire.
Was it? Huh? That took the state police arson squad. The woman who was in charge, her name, she went to Old Saybrook after that.
I don't remember.
It took her 3 days to crack this kid. But he did it. She did it.
Well, it was Oppenbrow that actually cracked it.
Yeah. Oh, what's her name? Forget her name. Anyway, very, very good. Now, you've done a lot for us. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very much. Sure.
And I'm not going anywhere. I'm still just in a different role.
Okay.
That's all from the fire marshal.
Yep. Bill's got a written report if he wants to share some of the highlights of the moment.
Sure. First and foremost, I want to extend my appreciation to Jim and also thank you for all the fine words and being there. Pass a few things across, grab a few bushes, and we have some new friends and some not friends anymore. So it's been interesting. But I want to thank you for the kind words. For the number one and number two selectmen, thank you also for the kind words. Anyway, with that, so past one. Another senior Knox box is in house. We're down to two that the funds from the Bolton Fire Department donated. To get two left.
Two left?
Two left. Updated financial inspections, went to Capital Region Fire Marshals meeting Rocky Hill. Jim and I attended an all-day seminar at the Connecticut Fire Marshals training. That was late December. Had one fire department callback on Hopper Road that the chief was talking about. Did some fire prevention poster duties. The posters have been completed. They're with the state and they're voting on them right now. So we don't know how that's going to go. We'll find out soon. Today, went to the Bolton Center School for, it was going to be a fire alarm drill, but they decided to go with a
lockdown
place. The chief and I were there. And one little funny note was, it's absolutely amazing within 30 seconds, how quiet this school gets. I just can't commend them enough. I don't know what the high school is like. We don't get invited too frequently or whatever. That's going to change. So I went with Daryl, the principal, to one half of the school, and he goes around, he checks to make sure all the doors are locked. And when you look in the window, you can't see the kids. I think I mentioned it before. And then Dave went with the vice principal to the other part of the school. So we go upstairs, and he's checking all the doors. I'm checking the doors. I go, just for a heck of that, I saw a sign that said, you know, you need something, just knock on this door or whatever. Some fake, spooky thing the teacher put on. It's like, Daryl goes, well, we're not supposed to open the door. The teacher was just saying, am I supposed to answer this?
No.
No.
But that's what drills are about.
Yeah, and she was a temp. Not temp, what do you call it? A temp teacher, and she was all embarrassed. But it was something that Daryl added to tell everybody else to, you know, remind them that you're not open the doors.
Liz was part of that group, not your group, but okay. She was in another hall. All
right.
And so I'm going down with the assistant principal and knocking on doors because it says knock on there. And I look in there, I see all these kids. They're all this big on the floor. You go, this is not good. But in past practice, you kind of be nice. We'll talk about it later, right? So at the end of the drill, let everybody out of the room, came back. And Liz is a substitute teacher down there. She had a kindergarten class that was walking down the hall, and there was an open door. So she bailed into this room, this first or second grade room. So all these kids were in there. And there's only supposed to be half that amount of kids in here. So a teacher says, what do I do? He says, well, it's like you go out in recess. They all climb on each other, get in the corner so you can't be seen. So, but she had a good idea what she's going to do different on marking on the floor. So it was kind of fun. Went on very well, though. They did very well.
Oh, yeah. 30 kids in a room. Oh, yeah. What's that say?
First grade and kindergarten. Yeah. So fun.
So anyway, instructions for the month. As you know, this time of year, I mentioned this before, is get all the apartments done. Nacho departments are 100% complete. Every unit's been inspected. The Sunset apartments, their yearly's done and 100% completion there. Took like 4 or 5 trips, but got them done. He's also putting in fire doors. He's got an open building permit that the building official and I will check off some of the doors, but he's slowly putting them in as people vacate apartments. It's just that's an issue. But that'll be the last apartment. If when they get done, then all the other apartments in town will have the fire door installed. Shell station went there 4 times with the building official for numerous inspections due to replacing the tanks and upgrading the facility. And today we got their CO, so they should be back in business. We went to Loomis Road Apartments and started inspecting there. And I just drove by today. Geez, we're almost done. How fast they work.
Yeah.
Stopped by Dollar General for their egress inspection. They've gotten a lot better than last year. Right before Christmas, hit them. Georgina's had some new construction completed. Inspecting the building the first month. We've got 2 burn permits with an inspection. And there was, forgot to mention, there was an open burn complaint down by the lake. And one thing leads to another. So this person was, I spoke to the complainant who called all these other different people and actually called the town of Manchester because he used to know Pete Rebosa. When I called him up, I said, well, if you know John Rebosa, you're about as old as I am, if not older. So he told me the problem. The guy was burning building supplies, building products, siding, shingles, whatever. Went over there, tried to get a hold of him. Nobody there. Did a little bit of research and come to find out there's huge construction going on. The house was completely, it was purchased in August, and they're doing a complete rehab. They put a giant addition off the back, roof, windows. The building was gutted, old deck replaced without a permit. Without a permit. So let Rich know about it. So Rich went down there, I think, Saturday morning. And he put up a cease and desist order. So I left a message. I called him, left a message. And by the way, you can't burn anymore. You can have a recreational fire, but you can't burn anymore. This stuff. And you don't have any permits. You have to talk to the building department. So haven't heard back from him. But it was just interesting that this has been going on for some time. This building was totally gutted. And no permits. That's it.
North Road is not one of those roads you go down very often.
No.
It doesn't lead anywhere.
No.
Right. So unless you have a reason to go there, you don't go there.
Lakeside Lane, the same thing, yeah. We're on Lakeside Lane for a call last night. First call in a long time. Yeah.
Old business. Any old business? Okay. New business.
So I'd like to talk about the budget a little bit that we've had several discussions on. This could be old or new business, I guess. Several discussions on, and I took your words to heart. John and I talked a few times, and Jim and I have a meeting about the budgets, and he tasked me to do a little bit of paperwork for it, and I think I did. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. Pardon me?
Not all of it's a book.
Oh my gosh, what did I work till 3 a.m. for? You know, anyway, a lot's happened in the firehouse. I gave you, in fact, I think the commissioners have all seen this also that I sent out. Give you a little brief update. And so, Jim, so you understand who we are, what we're doing a little different. And this wraps into why I changed the budget. John and I suggested this new budget. Have you looked at a budget yet?
Yours?
Yeah.
No, yours is coming up.
Tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow night.
Right.
Have you looked at it yet?
No.
Maybe you should leave right now.
And you know, the whole reason you guys were
well, no.
Because no.
I know.
Chief, don't worry about it. Because it is what it is. And then... And then the swords come out, and then...
We'll give you a synopsis, okay? We'll give you a synopsis. Tonight, joining us, by the way, we've got a few, you know, a couple new people here. Over past Deputy Chief Peter Mora, his brother. Lucky to have him for... He was my Deputy Chief for 7 years. He's also my safety officer now because his wife said he can't be the chief anymore. She still doesn't know he's a safety officer. So,
you got to hide the yellow coat.
Oh, hi, Sue. And in a blue shirt down here, Matthew Pereira, past Vernon firefighter, number of years of excellent service over there, recommendations, deputy chief for us now. My assistant chief is Michael Aramita. I don't know if you ever heard that name.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not his son, senior. His son's still in a ladder truck in Hartford. So anyway, town of Bolton, 534 calls last year. Interesting, the last number, 34. 72% of that were emergency medical calls, including car accidents. Structure fires, vehicle brush fires, 23% of the calls, and mutual aid runs, miscellaneous, 5%. Average response time is 7 minutes to call. Total time of personnel on emergency calls, 2,361 hours. Average emergency calls per month, 45 calls a month. Busiest months last year were March and July, 54 calls apiece. Busiest days of the week, interesting point. Saturday, you've got this in print already. Thanks for taking notes, so I appreciate it. Busiest day of the week is a Monday and Sunday. Busiest time of the days for emergencies is 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Mr. First Selectman, that's in a graph form for you already.
Okay.
So, longest time in an emergency call, and I went back and thought about this and pulled it up. It was 4 hours and 35 minutes. I call it the Long Island Freeway. We have 14 cars out there on 395 right at Notch Road. It was a ice skating rink. Couldn't even really walk out there. And we had to bring ambulances and state police and wreckers in a completely different way than normally do. And it worked out very, very well. 37 members of the department, 18 of them are active. I say active responds to majority of the calls or majority of the time. Average age of the members, 29.85 to be exact. Age range, 18 to 73. Average years of service, not counting a couple guys in this room, 9.81 years of service. Pete's ringing up 53 years, 54 years. I've got 53. Billy's got 50, coming up on 50.
51.
Sorry, you're that old? Holy cow.
You're all right.
Members' service time, probationary to 54 years in service. Members that left for professional fire or EMS jobs, 7 of the members left in the last couple of years. West Hartford got 3 or 4. Manchester, Mohegan Sun, Pratt and Whitney, and I had one of the West Hartford gentlemen in here today, and he says, Chief, I'll show up for the big calls for you. I says, thank you, glad you do. Training, firefighter certification, fire one or fire two or higher, we've got 20 members. EMS certification, EMR or EMT, majority of them are EMTs, we've got 28 members that way. That's a lot of hours in certification classes. Every Monday night is our have drills and meetings. Firefighter one class averages 160 hours. EMT class averages 200 hours for a class. Those are on nights and weekends, not on Monday nights when we're at the firehouse here. We also conduct fire prevention programs with the FMO's office at all the schools for preschool through fourth grade. Now, I preface that to this other, what we'll be looking for. I've written a bit of a letter here. You want me to read that whole thing?
You're going to read it tomorrow.
I was hoping the selectmen would have all this read tomorrow. So they say, Chief, option A or option one or option two.
They have about 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's a no dose.
Anyway, fire department, the Bolton Fire Department, I'll read the first line, maybe a paragraph or two. Bolton Fire Department has been an established organization with a mission to provide services necessary to minimize the loss of life and or property threatened by the hazards of fire, explosion, medical, chemical, and rescue-related emergencies through fire suppression, conscientious prevention, and education since 1941. This guy was a deputy chief in the fire department, 50-some-odd years, 55 years plus in the fire department. This part of what I'm reading is him. Over the decades, the landscape of Bolton has changed greatly with respect to the population, homes, businesses, and infrastructure. In order to provide the services, the Bolton Fire Department has outgrown two buildings. Old apparatus have been replaced. Training has been enhanced. And today, members of all ages and walks of life still care about helping the citizens in town and our surrounding communities. One of the positive results in the last few years, a number of our volunteers have gone to paid departments. Talked about that. With this said, a number of people who want to volunteer our department has dwindled over the last few years. Since 2013, the department has had approximately 40 members on the roster, with half of those responding to large incident calls. I say large incident calls. The medical calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, we get one or two that will show up for that. Today, Bob Langton, fire department for 30 years. He and I responded to three different calls ourselves today. Historically, nighttime is the best response time for many members because of their conflicting obligations. In the last few years, volunteers are getting harder to come by, a problem faced by other civic, private, church, and school groups as well. Fire department community is getting the same results. Fewer citizens in town that want to commit and give of their free time. The subject of retirement by a number of senior members has been discussed with the selectmen over the last few years. After much discussion and survey of other departments, the fire commission agrees that it's time to properly compensate the chief and members for their certifications in emergency response in an effort to bolster member response and to future emergency calls. In addition, plan and implement a program to include paid employees, firefighters with EMT certifications, to handle the duties briefly noted above. For discussion, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. would be considered 5 days a week. See the attached charts, which I spoke of quickly before. Fire chiefs are compensated a number of different ways. In your packet is a quick review of towns like Bolton, Columbia, Coventry, Glastonbury, Hebron, Lebanon, Summers, Vernon, and Willington, along with the number of calls they make, the emergency calls per year. I mentioned 534 for us. Ashford's 580, Columbia 610, Glastonbury's 860. The population of those locations is in here also. The compensation for the fire chiefs, whether along with the vehicle, paid or combination departments, and what their firefighters are paid or compensated for. Okay. To give you an idea, there's a local department, and I didn't expound on a total salary, but there's a department around here which is all volunteer. They do not go to medical calls. And a gentleman makes well in excess of $100,000. It's the highest paid chief from what I'm told, highest paid volunteer chief in the state. The list is all right there for you on your print. The fire chief averages 25 hours a week per week. That includes all administrative, finance, paperwork, and attending meetings. In addition, chief responds to emergency calls, training classes and drills another 20 hours per week. Historically, Bolton Fire Department responds to 550 calls. Your current fire chief responded to 279 calls last year. I'm on tape, so I'll stop there. Fire Commission also feels the proficiency fund should be increased to enhance the monies paid out to the members to recoup expenses for their vehicles, fuel, spelling, stuff, repairs, insurance, taxes, clothing, etc. Currently, these monies are distributed to the members once a year, less taxes, at the annual meeting in May. Conversation point on the selectman side. Or somebody else's side. The commission is suggesting that we look set up payments that are tailored around certifications and response at regular interviews throughout the year in an effort to get the membership to be more active in response to your citizens' emergency calls. Turn around and there's more to the letter, but we'll let it go through. Turned around and John and I put together a document here. It gives you two options, okay? Jim and I have worked very well the last couple of years, for longer than that, but the last couple of years on the budget side of it. And for instance, with turnout gear, NFPA says you should have two sets of turnout gear per individual, correct? We get some nods here, good, okay. We turn around and in a phase-in period, working with the commission and your recommendations, we phased in some dollars instead of taking $100,000 for turnout gear right off the bat. We broke it over about 3 years. We did the same thing with SCBA bottles, okay? And we'll talk about that in a budget here too, where I dropped an area of, you know, what we're looking for monies. And so with the discussion, I did a lot of calculations and a lot of phone calls back and forth and talking to 95% of the chiefs are on a sheet of paper on what they're doing for their members, for themselves, and for their members. And John and I agreed, as the commission recommended, we increase the proficiency fund. For those who don't know, proficiency fund comes as a one lump sum to the fire department. It's been increased 3% every year. That particular monies, package of monies, comes to the fire department incorporated, which is a private group. Fire Department Incorporated turns around and uses this new ESO program that we talked about using for fire marshals too. And I can pull reports off that to tell me what calls members go to, how many minutes, how many hours, time of day, et cetera. So we can pull a lot of data out of that. So we can look at, as I said, 279, I think it was for me or something like that, for calls. You say, okay, Bob Langton made 73 calls last year. We took his 73 and we took Pete's 293, and we took Matt's, because he's working full-time, 172, and put those all together into a number and divide that into the amount of money we have. So it could pay out anywhere for as little as $25 per year for the year for a member that showed up to 8 calls, okay? Or up to somebody like this who responds to a lot of calls, he's getting more money. We're looking at a number of different programs. We said, let's take certifications. Take your response, but take certifications where Bob is an EMR, okay? Not an EMT, EMR, and he also does traffic. We'll take a medical certification at a figure of, included in here, $200 a quarter. He's a fire police, so we can give him $100 additional quarter. So it's $300 per quarter if he makes, and I did 3 different graphs on this, 10% of calls, 8% of calls, or 5% of calls. In our bylaws, it's a higher number than that. There is a fire chief and a volunteer organization. When another member, Steve from West Hartford, shows up on a call, he's running calls, continue. He's doing 100 and some odd hours a week in West Hartford, and he shows up on a call on a house fire. I'm supposed to say, I'm sorry, you haven't been to all our calls, you know, training things. You better go home. No, I need that gentleman because of the training he's got on a job and working there. Between a 10% and a 5%, there was a pretty good spread between 10 and 8. And then there's only about 4 or 5 members on a 5%, the way I figured it out. So I went with an 8% number with the hopes of enticing somebody. And if they don't show up, the money's still in a kitty. Okay. And we could talk about that at the end of the year whether we spend it on boots or turn it back in, you know, to the general budget. But so I did three different. I did that, and then I took the fire chief's pay in compensation with other chiefs, and not to exceed or even equal. It's actually a little less. Working on the budget to bring this up in time. Also, we turned around and looked at, and this is in here under option two, is the same compensation for the chief and his certifications, but also for some paid personnel to come on during the day. And I figured, two or three members. I put it in the budget here for two, but I put the numbers in here so you can look at and compare and say, okay, if you want, for instance, for our upgrade on option number one, payroll went up $36,000. That's it. We turn around, communications went up $603, TN increase in fees. And proficiency fund, it's in the attached letter, it's in that $36,000. Took proficiency fund out, put it in the payroll. If we went into paid personnel right off the bat, we go from $36,000, which I'm asking for option one, to $120,000, option two. Same proficiency as in certifications response, same difference in a chief, and payroll for a couple individuals. That can be talked about the massage in a second. To go along with this gentleman's thoughts in the past, and he didn't know I was doing this part of it. Okay, this wasn't part of our conversation. But there's a phase-in type thing, I think, truthfully. You came on board wanting a zero budget. I did take a delete sheet here. There it is. Decision. Yep, decision drop equipment right here. It's a sizable amount of money. You can look at it later. Don't get excited yet. But when you came on board as a platform to go with a zero, we're behind you. You got a heck of a lot on your court and you're the guy to run it. But to run this operation, when I'm getting $10,000 for batteries and an EGR that it weren't even thought about, different fees for Tolland County Mutual Aid Fire Service, which is our dispatching service, okay, up there. Some of these numbers start adding up. And I keep trying to keep them down. Since 2013, when I've been your chief, I haven't gone up a heck of a lot each year, correct? So, but I think it's time when we talk to Social Security Group, runs the calls during the day, and he's not Social Security yet, are you?
Almost next month.
Okay, he's getting there. He's part of the good. We'll have a cake. But what do you got, Pete and Mike Aramita and myself? And Bob, who just retired, so he's running with us. That's why I figured he's with it, you know, during the days now. Okay. It makes it kind of tough, you know, to handle the services. And he gets the 911 calls, you know, on the phone, as do a couple other people. So to get to see who's going out and you get to see how many are responding, it's a challenge. And with guys like you, didn't you start the service in 41? Close. Your dad did. Like 1960. His dad was in the department too. Okay. There's a generational thing. I was at. But anyway, I hate to even bring the subject up.
Can we respond?
No, I'm not. Yeah, go ahead. You can. You're the deputy. Please.
No, put it in perspective. The previous board of selectmen, I'm the only one left of that board other than Pam. We had talked about putting together a comprehensive plan, knowing full well the situation of training and lack of volunteers. It's what it is today is nowhere near what it was even just 10 years ago. And part of we applied for a grant to actually come up with not just a plan for this year, but a true comprehensive plan 5 to 10 years out that goes not just here. That's just one issue to look at. Also, the facility. When you start going paid personnel, fine, you're starting off with a few daytime personnel. That's eventually going to roll into housing people sooner or later.
Right.
And that's why, when we're looking at putting the addition on, say, wait a minute, we better know what our needs are to do it. And I say this because you've got something there, a start thing, but we haven't had a chance to even talk about this, but this is something that we should, this is where subcommittees between two things have to sit and work things out between us and you guys, not just having you having to do it all or us do it. That's never going to, if you want it to work, and we all do, there's nobody in this room that doesn't want it to work. We know we do. And we may have to look at an interim. And during this year, put together that whole five-year plan. What you've got here is you gave a ton options. Of options. Well,
that's right. There's two
you've
big
got
options.
There's more than two options mixed in there, quite honestly. You can take a little from here, from there. But I think, obviously, the commission is going to have to be on board of wanting to do something like that between the fire department, however we do this. And I haven't discussed it with...
And we need to fund the master plan project.
Right.
And Jim started that. Jim started, well, that was actually in a budget. Adam Teller actually made that motion, okay, to do a master plan. Jim went after a grant.
I know.
And there were other grants that were in line, first. So we missed out on that one. It's been discussed, the paid. In fact, October, I brought it up in the public comment. I read this in the public comment. So we're all aware of it. You're right. I think we should go forward. And with a couple different options here, if you went with option one, to get you through the next year and see how it works, you got option two to figure it second year. Pay people, unless you want to jump right into everything right off the bat. It's up to you.
And the reason why I'm jumping in so fast, I'm on the finance committee too.
Okay.
So, like it or not.
Well, yep. I agree with Bob. I think we should, open a dialogue, right? We started the dialogue last year, the year before. And I think that's one of the things that a master plan will facilitate, right? It'll cause the Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, and the Fire Commission and Fire Department to make some hard choices, to really think about the future. And it'll help us determine what do we need for personnel, what do we need for equipment, what do we need for a facility? Think about where Bolton is going, and what happens next. And I think every dollar of that plan is money well spent if we actually get the plan, we follow it. And I think the plan will cause the dialogue between those groups to help formulate a plan. And I think the time to jump into paid personnel is to time it with an assistant to firefighters grant so that it's not hitting the Bolton taxpayers all at once.
Correct.
So I think, and again, you have to bring it up that we talk about it, right? Because if you don't bring it up, we don't talk about it, and things just keep going on the way they've been going on.
Right.
But change has to happen at some point.
Jim and I and Pam are the only ones from the previous board, and we have a whole lot of new people on there. That's a good intro and gives us a chance to input what we've done in the past and put this in context to what the board's mindset was to really come up with a full year plan dealing with those very issues. And when we look at that, I know one of the things, not making decisions, but one of the things that is it's always been a tough one is that the compensation portion. And how do you compensate fairly? That seems to be a little bit more of a better method of doing it that we have now. This is the way it is now is because that's the way we've done it. It started off that way.
Right.
It was a simple system to do it. And we did not have the certification demands that you have now. And that's just a different
requirements.
The requirements are different.
Right.
So that, incorporating that. Now, where it gets incorporated is the question. Now, the disbursement really goes through the corporation, right?
And I got an option for that.
But it may be different, but that's I bring it up because those are the issues we're going to have to be discussing to work this whole thing out. And that's the simplest one. I think you're going to get a reasonable support from generally on the board, but it gets down to the numbers and where, what, and how, and And Rodney just, we've thrown, he's up here and the stuff we've thrown at him. So.
We have boots upstairs, Rodney. They're real tall ones. Okay.
So, you know, I don't mean to steal the conversation, but I've been dealing with this thing for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets harder.
It's hard to break this and bring it up.
But now it's different. It's different because this is a true transition period.
Mm-hmm.
There's no putting off. And that's why planning for it is critical. And we have to start doing that right now.
It's brought on by society because, as I mentioned in the letter, nobody's volunteering anymore. If they are very far and few between.
That gets to my point. So at the very least, and I understand about the study, and I do have a question about that, but we should take care of who we have. They've been here a while. They put their heart and soul into this, and I'm very appreciative of it because I know what the job, entails. And
Chris was president of East Hartford.
I don't want to see this like I've been here long enough to know that. Like you said, we talked about this years. I've been here since 99. So I've seen some good progression. The chief gets paid now and so on and so forth. But I don't want to see that portion get pushed away. And I would argue that wholeheartedly. They deserve more. They're taking their own vehicles, putting their own gas in it. The car breaks down, yada, yada, yada. So I just don't want to see that portion of it studied.
It's like anything else. It's the amount. Not to say that
it's not huge. I asked for double. So that, and the chief knocked that down. So I was up in the $40,000 range.
I don't know what you're looking at because I haven't seen these figures.
No. I just know I was going by a number in the budget. That was it. About 20.
19,732.
So I was saying double.
We had 10.
So that's economical.
I thought you were saying the chief.
Because you're not going to get another one.
Not that you're not worth it.
That's all right.
But so where are these monies coming from? So I know that you talked about getting a grant. So
we didn't get the grant.
You didn't get the grant. So now
we have to fund
the study happening.
No, because there was no.
No. But are you looking at the study happening sooner than later, or where's the money coming from?
What I'm saying is the money should be in the budget this upcoming fiscal year.
For this year,
last year the board did not put any money in the budget for the master plan.
Right.
So what I'm saying is we need to fund the master plan
this year.
I said what we should do. Since we're not going to build an addition right away, it's take money out of that $35,000 that we've set aside.
Right.
And I got shot down.
Oh yeah.
That was what I said. Once we knew we didn't get the grant, I said, well, why don't we take money out of that $35,000 we set aside for plans for a fire department bay and use those funds for the master plan.
Temporary building committee they put together.
That did not go anywhere. That fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us either going back to that discussion and starting that right now, going out with the RFP for the master plan, or putting money in the budget this upcoming fiscal year for the master
plan. And I know there's another round of grants. I don't know if that would qualify for it.
I don't want to jump in. This is money that's here. We have. It's set aside. Jim's recommending just a different use of monies that we're not going to spend it on plans that we don't even know is worth spending another dime on. And that's just good common sense. And that's what he's suggesting. That's our first election.
Yeah.
Of course,
in
front
of the current. Get the master plan built and then get some.
And part of that. And part of developing that plan is going to need representatives from all from the department, your commission, and the board of selectmen.
Remember, all you get to do is suggest. I don't get to vote.
And I'm opinionated.
Keep suggestion.
Just go over here. Don't worry about it. But we all have the same goal in mind. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to remember, it's not the dozen or so people who have to in here that has to convince. It has two boards to be convinced, and actually, and eventually the electors should be convinced of that. And we come up with a good plan. And I don't think it's all that, not that hard. It's going to be difficult to really lay it out. But I think a good plan is, it just tells the people, this is the reality. This is what public safety is going to cost in proper public safety. If you don't want it to cost that much, then you come over here and spend $8 a day. You go to firefighter one. You go to EMT class.
That's not going to happen.
It also helps because it's a third party objective.
Right.
It's not the board of selectmen. It's not the fire department. It's not the fire commission. You know, you get a third party objective view saying, based on the needs of the town of Bolton, and the chief gave statistics. So the needs are pretty well spelled out. This is what our needs are. And we can look at the number of calls. We can look at the number of recalls. I watch this phone and I listen to calls, right? So I know what's going on. I know what you guys are facing. I feel for you. I've been there. You know, I was a guy that for a number of years lived less than a mile from the fire department. I was the first one to call, and we ran an ambulance. Every time I drove that ambulance, it was 2 hours of my life that just vaporized, right? So, you're preaching to the choir. I know exactly what volunteerism and being an active firefighter is.
He was trained by the best, Jim.
Really? Chief Dixon taught me how to fold cars.
It's not like it was back. I started in 1974 as an explorer in the department, and it's not like that anymore. You don't just you show up, they start giving you gear, and now you're running into buildings. At that age, you couldn't run into buildings, but you did support, and then when you became 18, you were allowed to go into buildings. There was no certifications.
Right.
Right now, you've got to become firefighter one. You've got to have, you know, basically we got to try and get you to be an EMT. You don't have to, but just the amount of hours you spend, and even it doesn't show the hours that the engineers, they come up here and they wash and wax their trucks. They go through their trucks and stuff like that. Those hours aren't included in all this. And these guys do it. They'll stop in, check the oil in the truck. This is what some of these two paid guys can do. They can, you know, check the oil in the truck, because you leave it, stomp on it, get out of here, go to the call, spend 4 or 5 hours, come back here, park the truck. Well, that's when it should be serviced, because we can't do a pre-chip inspection. We can't do like a DOT wants and check all your tires. That's what these guys would be used for, to be bringing you into like DOT compliance. They would do a pre-chip inspection before the truck leaves the station. It's just going to be done hours before.
It takes on the average about 2.5 hours to do a truck check, to go through all the equipment,
just the lights to take.
You don't realize how much time these guys spend. I did it. I did it for many years. Come up here and with a new guy and sit there with him and go through the doors on a truck and say, "This is here. This is here." That's not included in our drill time, and that happens. There's a lot of guys that do that. And the chief, the hours he spends, I go to some meetings with him, and I did with Chief Price. We'd go to meetings and stuff like that. And all those hours aren't counted in. They really aren't. You figure how many hours we spent. You know, you leave here, you're gone 3 hours just for a quick meeting. By the time you get to the other station or wherever it is, looking at the OSHA regulations, now we got to buy tires for a truck. The tires that sit on the truck till they almost fell off of it years ago. Well, now you got 7 years, you got to put new tires on the truck. You get gear has to be replaced. We had hose up on in 2001. It was 1961 when Bobby joined the department. And we're still using that hose. You know, we don't spend money. We got accused of when we bought the new truck. Oh, you guys just bought a shiny piece of apparatus. We had a nice shiny piece of apparatus. It shined as nice because our guys take good care of this stuff. They really do. And but they outlive their usefulness. When your car starts breaking down, what do you do? You either have to have it totally refurbished or you buy a new one. And that's basically what we did. You know, we're not out wasting money because I live in town. I live in town all my life. I can't afford the taxes, you know, if they keep going up, but there's stuff we have to do. Whether you, I doubt if you're going to be able to get the two paid guys and the chief in 1 year, if we can split it, or even a chief and one paid guy. I mean, there's a lot of options we can do. But it's got to be looked at. We can't keep waiting. We've been talking about paid people since before he showed up. It was brought up, you know, but not presented to the boards like that. And it's just like, they'll never approve it. And we had a couple of people over the years. Jim's old administrator. You're not getting any paid people. You know, so you didn't bring it up because you knew you're getting shot down.
No, he's talking historical.
Historical, yeah. No, I'm not pointing to you. I'm very happy with the way we work together. But I mean, it was brought up before. Well, you know, and if they go to the, if that administrator goes to the board of selectmen and say, yeah, I don't want this, and it's a bad idea, you could almost guarantee we're not getting it. And that's how it was brought up a lot of times. But we've discussed it over the years quite a few times since you've been here and stuff like that. We just have to move forward. And like I said, we have to at least jump at part of this year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important.
Yeah, I think like this meeting is kind of like the flares going up. This is the heads up. I think today is a good example. Chief and I went to two medical calls. It was me and Chief. That was it. I happened to be in town and he happened to not be driving his bus out of town. But I mean, like, what if it was a 384 or a bad collision? Would it only been me and him? I don't know. You would hope others would respond. But I think like this, we're kind of given that warning flare, like heads up. I agree that you want to plan these things and that would be the ideal situation. But I think that the time has come. We had a lot of officers leave in the last year. Good news, like Chief said, they're going to paid departments. That's what you want. But it's the 80-20 rule. The officers have been doing a boatload. They've been doing the lion's share of work and it's not fair. But we're seeing signs that we need help and the help is going to be the money. So I'm saying, I agree, you want to plan these things, but I think the town too wants to be prepared. And I think that time is here. One other thing I worry about is Chief stepping down probably in the near future. And he's been saying that. I mean, would that be me today? Going to a call 4 or 5 months from now where I'm it for a medical call, I'm not an officer. So I'm just saying, we're getting signs. You want to plan these things, but the timing is right. We're here where we've got to start doing things like all the other surrounding towns, converting to some sort of a paid response.
Plans for 5,000 employees or 5,000 citizens, not for these guys and gals sitting at this room, for 5,000 citizens going forward. So, any questions? How long have I got tomorrow night?
He just can't let you.
When the gong gets rung, you're done.
You've just been deleted.
If you dial 911, tell them you call a chief.
Remember that you're talking to two members of the Board of Select.
Correct.
You got five more that you've got to
understand it.
Present your budget to. And, you know, yep. I think, and I go back to one thing that Bobby said that's really important. We all have the same goal, mm-hmm. right?
And right.
It's, you know, how we achieve it and the steps that we take to get there and when we can take those steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, those are the things that, you know, we need to work out. And that's, you know, where I think the master plan comes into play. And that's where the Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, Fire Department, members of the Fire Commission work together to figure out, you know, what is that roadmap? You know, you've given us, you guys have worked really hard to put together, but you know, what you think is an appropriate roadmap.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, working together is how we really achieve the solutions that we need to achieve to continue to provide the service to the town both and that it deserves.
Uh-huh. Right. Good way to say it. Yep.
And a roadmap would be the thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
In this way, yeah. We not only know what to plan for this budget, but the next one, the next, not fully, but certainly you know you're planning for this step. That's it's a similar way when we Like a capital plan. A capital plan. We negotiate employee wage package and benefits. We know for 3 or 4 years what this is going to be. And not, at least on this component of it. Obviously, repairs and all that, that varies with whatever.
That's true.
But this is a totally different component, major component, which it never was the major component. It was, we introduced the pay to officers under my watch a while ago, increased it, and previous chiefs brought it forward. We looked at, got to do that, got to compensate it. This is kind of moving up, getting the next phase going and started. But instead of just doing what we did and leaving it, because I don't think none of us really foresaw the huge drop in volunteerism that had occurred when we first started this. And we know now that's a bygone era. And we're going to have to figure out how to do it using a more paid service. We have no choice. This is the impetus to get it going. And we have to work it together to get it through everybody.
You'll put Xboxes in the trucks.
Yeah. No, you look at some of the communities around us, how they've changed over the years.
Well, yeah.
I used to be in the 8th District. We had 125 people and 80 would fight to get on the trucks.
Right.
And look what happened recently. Yeah. That gentleman right there had how many in the department at one point?
120.
Okay. And it's down to 5 stations with few folks running the call now.
Yeah, I know.
So, and we've always been
fortunate. Right. We've been fortunate, but we got to take that step to look at it.
We've always run about 40 to 50 people, but it's just how active the 40 to 50 people are.
But, instead of having just 10 in. You are at that cusp, that point where it is changing, and it's going to change fast.
Yeah.
And that's why, and Jim had recommended this to us before. That's why a third party putting their eye on this thing.
And that could quite be in frankly, phase two, option one or option two, well, or option two.
A third party also brings in, what if you, tweak it around? It doesn't have to be option one, two, or three. It's option 1A plus B2. We'd have had a chance to pull back and look at it and see. Yep. I don't know what that answer is.
Correct. I agree.
I wish it did. We could go home and say, hey, it's done, put it away, I'll bring it before the selectmen, and they'll say, Bob, you're out of your freaking mind.
And that's part of the value of the third party. If they're a professional company that's doing this sort of thing, they may have some unique ideas that they could bring to the table that we haven't thought of.
Right.
Yep. That may help us solve the problem or even, patch the problem short term as we work on a more permanent solution. That's part of that value.
Good. We'll bring it up tomorrow night. Thanks for taking a preview before tomorrow night.
Depends on it.
6:30, but your meeting starts realistically probably about 7 o'clock anyway.
Oh no.
6:30 starts, but you got a full agenda before you have the hearing for the library and somebody else and us.
Oh, there is the library.
I think we're last. Tax collector, library, and fire department.
Where?
I can't imagine it.
They're going to be pretty brief.
I could be brief too. Probably won't be, but yes.
Wait a minute.
Where?
Is that recorded?
No, I don't think it is.
It's going to be really brief.
Where is it? It's getting easier. It's getting easier, let me tell you.
You're going to get a lot of questions.
I'm more than happy between the two of us.
That's what the whole budget process is about.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can ask their questions, so that when they sit down and deliberate and make their decisions at the end of this, essentially budget hearing process, where they hear all the department has budget.
Yep.
They have the information that we need to make good decisions.
Remember, you have 5 new members.
I know you do.
And if every one of them asks a few questions,
yep, I'm good.
It takes a while.
I'm fine. Yep.
So that's why the other two budgets are going first, because I don't think they're going to be long or controversial.
Liz always goes before me, and she always gets everything. Son of a gun. We're pulling for you, Liz. So,
great. Okay. Any other new business? Before we take a motion to adjourn, I'd just like to thank Jim again for your service, and thank these two gentlemen for showing up, and hope you get approved by the Board of Selectmen, and we'll look forward to working with you guys.
Good.
Good. Wish to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.